This just in. The Feed the Pig podcast is a nominee in the business category for this year's People's Choice Podcast Awards. Get the vote out for the Feed the Pig podcast by going to www.podcastawards.com. Vote now so people will learn the importance of feeding the pig.
Hi, and welcome to the Feed the Pig podcast. I'm your host, Tim Farrell. Money shouldn't drive your future, but neither should debt. It's time for you to take control, not just for today, but for your whole life. Remember, small changes add up. The Feed the Pig podcast is here to help you take steps to start saving for today, so you'll have a solid financial future tomorrow. Here on episode 8, we're giving you the 411 on 401ks.
Welcome back to Feed the Pig podcast. We have John with us today. Hi, John. How are you doing?
I'm good, Tim. Thanks.
You know, we're talking about 401ks and whether you should be involved in it, if your job offers one, how much you should be involved, and also to help us kind of guide through some of the issues, we've got Mark Minker. He's a CPA from New York City on the line. Mark, thanks for being here.
Oh, pleasure to be here. Thanks very much for having me.
Okay, so John, are you working? Are you doing your 401k? Are you contributing?
Well, actually, I am, but I don't think it's enough, and I was trying to figure out how you know how much you should contribute.
Well, how much are you?
About 2%.
Oh! 2%? I mean, right off the bat, do you know what the how much your job will match?
I think up to 6%, but not dollar for dollar.
Not dollar for dollar. So wait, how does that work?
Maybe it's 25 cents on the dollar. Or a fraction of it, like, so I could never figure out how much I should contribute to maximize my potential.
Mark, how does that work?
Well, the match is a very interesting aspect of the 401ks. Before I address that, John, I'm curious about why you were hesitant to even indicate the 2%. I mean, you know, 2% is better than no percent in my book.
Because I think everybody I talk to, they always... Everybody seems to say it's best to max it out, whatever the maximum allowance is. And I don't know if that's necessarily the best thing, because I felt like I wanted to have some more money left for myself to save.
Sure. Well, I mean, generally, it is good advice to try to maximize the amount you can put into the 401k, at least to take advantage of the employer's match that you have available to you. I mean, the way the matches work is that there's a formula normally in place where the employer will match some percentage of what you're putting in up to a maximum of, let's say, 25% of 6%, which essentially would be about 1.5% overall. So if you're not, if you're able to contribute into the plan at least enough to maximize the match that the employer is providing, you really ought to give some hard thought to doing that, because it's essentially an immediate return on the monies that you're investing into the 401k plan. And, you know, if you can afford it from a cash flow perspective, then it could be a very, very prudent thing for you to do. I mean, the issue I think that you're dealing with, and what you've kind of indicated, is that you want to have some money left over at the end of the day. And I think what may make some sense for you to do is think through the fact that if you were to increase the contribution into your 401k plan, you're not going to actually suffer a dollar for dollar reduction in what you're taking home net, because number one, that's coming out on a pre-tax basis. So any of the taxes that would otherwise be paid to, you know, on behalf of the wages that you were earning are now going to be reduced. And as a result, you may in fact be able to put more in to get up to at least that match level, if not more, by working through the numbers to see if it's going to put a pinch on you economically.
Yeah, that's something that I know was, I do contribute to my 401k. Actually, I've been really aggressive with it for a number of years, both in the job I'm at now and the job I had before. But just this year, I decided to cut back the percentage. Mm-hmm. And it was because of a cash flow issue. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to feed the pig, no doubt. But there was an issue for me where I felt like, you know what, this 1 year, I'm going to just do it for 1 year, I'm going to cut back, and then I'll put it back to where I was.
Well, I can understand feeding the pig. Everybody likes to feed their pig. It does help it to get big and fat. But, you know, you may want to just rethink the trimming that you did at least to get back up to that match level. I mean, usually employers are matching on the first 4 to 6% of your contribution. So if you were, let's say, contributing 8 or even 10% previously, and now you've kind of cut it way down to 2, I think maybe it would be prudent for you to consider at least getting back up to that 4 or 6% level.
Yeah, that's what it was. I had been really aggressive at 15% for like the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And it's been great. I actually have something there now, but... you know, I felt like it was at an expense of other debt that sure. I was concerned about. And I figured I should pay off that other debt for a year, knock that off, instead of putting it in towards the 401k.
Yeah, well, you're dealing with the typical challenge of, you know, trying to get everything addressed at once, and it is a challenge. I mean, there are a lot of tools. I don't know if you've looked at some of the tools that we have on the 360 Degrees of Financial Literacy website, but, you know, there are tools that will help you manage and kind of work through that process to see how you can make all those different pieces of the puzzle fit together.
Yeah, I definitely have looked at it, and I should probably go back to some of those calculators. I know there are a couple of different ones on there.
Mm-hmm.
So, John, let me ask you, you'd also, when we were talking before, talked a little bit about your concerns about the stock market and then what that money in the 401k is doing. Tell me a little bit about what your fears are about that.
Well, I just wasn't sure about the best investments, and I don't know how you decide which are the right investments for you, because every employer's plan has different offerings, and it's hard to really know. I don't know. I'm not a financial analyst, and I don't know specifically what they are, so I just didn't like any of the riskiness associated with any of the stock or fund plans, so I was always putting my 401k money into the stable funds, which typically had really bad returns, and I felt I could do better on outside savings accounts that are now paying almost 5%.
Yeah, so Mark, what do you think about that?
You know, that's another very common question and concern that many people have when they're talking about investments within the 401k or retirement plan. And it is a challenge and is sometimes daunting, especially if you're not familiar with those types of investment vehicles or the approach that one should take to, you know, apply an investment philosophy to the 401k fund. You know, a lot of the fund families that are the sponsors of these types of plans and programs have tools and calculators that help you figure out what an appropriate allocation of the asset structure should be within the 401k investments. There are some very quick and easy ways that one can go about it. I think certainly a lot of it's going to be dependent upon the type of investor you are and how adverse you are to risk, or how much you are comfortable in taking risk on an investment perspective. It sounds to me, from what I've heard, John, that, you know, you're probably a little more risk averse, meaning you don't like to see a lot of fluctuation in value in the investments, but by the same token, you'd like to see some returns greater than the 1 or 2% that you might otherwise experience in very low risk types of investment vehicles. And so you sound to me like what I term a middle of the road type of an investor, one that would have some portion of their 401k invested in more stable investments like the guaranteed investment fund or a bond fund or perhaps even a money market account, and then another portion of the portfolio invested in equities or growth-oriented securities that are going to give you a little bit higher rate of return, but also do have with it some volatility in terms of the value of that investment at any one particular point in time.
What do you do, you know, you're putting in 2%. Do you rebalance it? And what is the importance of rebalancing it?
Well, that's an excellent question, Tim. I think rebalancing in any vein, be it, you know, talking in a 401k or retirement context, or even outside of the retirement context, is an extremely important aspect of the overall approach to one's management of an investment portfolio. Because over time, you know, the values in each of the different portfolios are going to drift. Stocks are going to go up, bonds may go up or down, as the case might be. So typically speaking, we want to reallocate or reorient the portfolio and rebalance it on an annual basis. And you know, I think the easiest time to do that is sometime around when you're going through your tax papers and collecting all of your annual materials for your tax return. It's you're in a financial mindset already. One more thing to add to the checklist is to look at, you know, how have my investments performed? Where did I think they were going to be proportionately? Have I drifted out of whack considerably? And if I have, to rebalance.
I also was wondering what happens if I change jobs and leave the plan that I'm in.
Well, there are a number of alternatives that are available, you know, depending on the fund balance, because a lot of funds don't want to have small account balances sitting on, you know, sitting around. Generally, if the fund balance is about $5,000 or below, they will just generally cash that out, and you can either roll that over into an IRA account, or you could roll it over into your new employer's plan. Or
which one do you prefer?
Me personally?
Yeah.
It really depends on the person. I mean, some people like to have everything in one place because there's a lot less paper involved. You know, they don't have to do too much in terms of thinking, in terms of how am I going to invest all this stuff on an asset allocation basis. Other people are much more into it, and they like having different investment options that are available in one plan that may not be available in another. So it really is dependent upon, you know, the individual. But in a general sense, I personally like to kind of keep everything together because it's just a heck of a lot easier. You don't have to track all these different little pieces. You don't lose track of any of the 401k balances that you might have scattered all over these different employers that you've left in your dust as you've moved in your career. So I generally try to have my clients roll from one 401k plan to another as they move from job to job.
Hey, thanks for listening to Episode 8 of the Feed the Pig podcast. Next time on Episode 9, we'll be discussing how to manage credit card debt so that it doesn't
eat you alive.
Mark Minker is a CPA, PFS, that's Personal Financial Specialist, who works for Mahoney Cohen Family Office Services in New York City. And if you're looking for other ways to save, check out feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org. Or you can go to www.360financialliteracy.org, where you can find all kinds of information to help you make sound financial decisions. Or if you have any questions for us, email us at feedthepig@gmail.com.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or FeedThePig.org. It is provided with the understanding that AICPA and FeedThePig.org are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and FeedThePig.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.